And welcome to this podcast episode from Bethel Church. Today's message from Pastor Kyle is all about peace and how wonderful life can be when we live peace-filled lives. Stay tuned to hear what Pastor Kyle has to say about this important subject.
I invite our youth to come forward for a brief message. Well, good morning. You guys were out there hand chiming away over next door. That was sounding really good, so good job for that. Now, today, we've lit the second candle you can see there off our Advent, and that's the candle for peace. So we did hope last week, and we did peace this week. What is peace? What does it mean? What
do you think? It means like no war.
Okay, it means like no war. Okay, that's... It's calm. You look like you're thinking. You got something on the tip of your tongue. Okay. So all those answers were right, by the way. But peace is just everything's at rest. Everything is the way it kind of should be, right? You know, it means there's no wars and that it's calm. It's relaxed. You know, when things are at peace, things are just as they should be. And, you know, for the world, there's all kinds of things. I mean, people worry about all kinds. Do you ever worry about something? What do you worry about? Do you worry about school?
Yeah,
kind of. Do you worry about cleaning your room? No, because you probably don't do that, right? So, you know. But there's other things people worry about. And some people worry about a home. They worry about food. They worry about money. But if somebody's at peace, they don't have any more worries. They're just relaxed. And at this time of the year, as you can see, we have the banners up there. It says, Peace on Earth. And God, you know, wants us. Right now, the world is not really completely at peace. There are some people in the world that are at peace, but there's many people that are not. But there's going to come a time when Jesus comes back again that everything will be made right and we will be at peace forever. No worries. Nothing to be concerned about. It's all going to be just good. Sound like a good plan? Okay. Do you have any questions about the Bible or Jesus or anything? Man, you guys just got it all going on, so I appreciate that. No hard questions for the pastor. That's awesome. So, all right, will you pray with me? Dear God, thank you for loving us. And thank you for your Son who wants to give us peace. We pray now for this season in anticipation of Jesus' peace coming again. Amen. Amen. All right, thank you. You want a bag to bring back with you? You could walk. You don't have to be on your knees if you don't want to. So.
Jesus is coming. The season of Advent is here. The season of peace. Today, I bless you with peace. May your hearts and homes be stilled with the deep calm, with the presence of the King who holds the whole universe in his hands and yet cares deeply about the tiniest details in your life. So let your worries go. Pause the hustle and bustle of Christmas. May you be filled fully with his peace right now. Peace that passes understanding. It stills the storm with just one whisper of his voice. May it settle deep in your heart drawing you to join the song of the angels, singing glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill for all men. Be blessed with peace this Advent.
August 30th, 2012 became a very scary day for me. It was the Thursday before Labor Day, and as I was relaxing at home, it was evening, I felt a twinge of pain in my right side that I hadn't felt for over 20 years. Growing up, I used to get these intense pains in my right side, and they were so intense, sometimes it would cause me to vomit. And what they first thought it might have been the appendix. But when that was ruled out, then they said, well, it must just be growing pains. I can assure you, the pain was real enough. The best remedy for this pain was really just to go to bed early. And as I prepared to go to bed that Thursday evening, I noticed an immense amount of blood in my urine. I'd had this pain many times in my youth, but I'd never had it with blood like that. So the relaxing, peaceful weekend I was looking forward to was gone. I was gravely concerned at this point. So instead of going to work that Friday, my wife and I went to the emergency room. And after an MRI, the doctor came in and told me. He said, I apparently had passed a kidney stone and another one was pending. Great. But, he said, there's something else. There was something more to this ailment than I could initially see, and I became even more concerned. Today's Advent reading, and we'll talk about this more in a little bit, but today's Advent reading on peace has relevance to this account, and we're going to be talking about Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. It's the account of the engagement between Joseph and Mary. And if you have your Bibles with you, I invite you to turn to that to Matthew chapter 1. Now, understand that Matthew's primary audience when he was writing his gospel were to his fellow Jews. He wanted them to understand that Jesus was the Messiah. So he would include in his gospel many accounts from the Old Testament that he would demonstrate that Jesus had fulfilled. Now, in his gospel, Matthew also included many different traditions and customs that the Jews practiced. So as they were reading the events that he's talking about, they would easily understand what he means. But for us, 2,000 years and a continent away, separated by the Atlantic Ocean, we sometimes don't get it. And so it's hard to understand some of these things, but it is important that we do understand what it is so that we can see the significance of what actually took place. So as an example, let me take a quick poll of everybody here. How many of you are or have been married? Keep your hands up now. So now, out of you, how many of you who got married had the broom come up to you after he popped the question, and you said yes, said, okay, wait right here. I'm going to go back and add a room onto my mom and dad's house so we can live in that later. Okay? I'm not seeing very many hands up at this point. But that was a custom that was going on. Can you imagine a knight riding in on a white horse, kneeling down before his lady, taking her hand in his, and asking her to marry him? To her, he's the man of her dreams. She's ecstatic. She says yes. And he says, great. Let me go home and add a room onto my mother and father's home, and I'll be back to pick you up later. See, that was actually what happened during this time period. The groom and usually a lot of times the marriages were arranged by families. Sometimes that's a good thing, sometimes not. But in this situation here, the groom and the bride-to-be would get together, and there would be a public announcement of the engagement. and the groom and the bride would exchange vows, and sometimes they would exchange gifts. The groom would offer, would pay to the family what's called a bride price. And this is not to suggest that the bride is property to be bought and sold, but rather it was compensation to the family of the bride for the loss of a skilled worker in their household. And the groom might also give a gift to the bride-to-be. Today, men give an engagement ring. But it was something of, that would show and demonstrate to the bride of his devotion to her. And then they would wait during the betrothal period about 1 year while the groom would go back home and construct a home for his bride-to-be. And many times, that was an addition to the existing family home. During this one-year period, the groom would be furiously building on this home, getting it all ready. But the groom didn't know when the wedding was going to take place because it all depended upon his father to say, this, okay, it's ready now. You can go get your bride. So the groom doesn't know when it's going to take place. Only his father knows. But when he gets permission, he goes to his bride's home. She's still with her family, right? They're living apart for this year. And he usually brings along some groomsmen. Most of the time, it's happened in the evening. He would go to the bride's house and call her forth to come to get married. Now, she didn't know when this was going to happen either. But she was instructed to always be ready. Now, they would go back from that. They would go back home. They'd get married. And then they would have a celebration that would sometimes last about 7 days. Now, if this sounds familiar, like the teaching of Jesus in the upper room after the Last Supper when he was talking to his disciples, you'd be right. Because if you remember that Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you. And Jesus often said that, I don't know when the time will be. Only the Father knows when the bride will come to be with me. So you can see the customs that took place during here are important for us to understand why certain things take place. So as we look at this, and we talk about the today, we're talking about an engagement in Matthew chapter 1, verses 18, there is a plot twist to this scenario. And looking at verse 18, when Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. So during their betrothal period, Joseph learns or sees Mary is pregnant. And the engaged couple were prohibited from intimate contact during the betrothal period. And as we learn from Luke, Mary has been away at her cousin Elizabeth's house for 3 months and has just come home. When she's returned, she is decidedly not married, yet decidedly quite pregnant. Joseph was devastated. He had been working tirelessly to build this home for his bride-to-be. His hopes and dreams were crushed when he saw Mary and her baby bump. He was a torrent of emotional conflict. He was sad. He was ashamed. He was angry all at once. The perfect family he had envisioned for his future was in ruins. The apparent evidence of Mary's infidelity was right there on display for anyone to see. The punishment, Joseph, for all intents and purposes, was a husband whose wife had committed adultery. And the punishment for adultery was execution by stoning. Still, Joseph loved Mary. His other two options were to publicly divorce her, as she had violated the terms of the contract when they got married. thus shaming her and her family. He would get a return of the bride price in that situation. And, you know, or he could marry her anyway, but then live with the scorn of all the people that he worked and lived with, who gave him that knowing glance. Oh, yeah, there's Joseph who married Mary, who must have fooled around on him. In verse 19, we're said that Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. So we're told that Joseph was a righteous man. He was a good guy. And, you know, he decided, since he still loved Mary, he would spare her life and not go the execution route. He decided to divorce her quietly, secretly. Now, that would mean that he would give up the bride price. That's gone. But he would save him. It would save her life, and it would save him the scorn he would face for marrying an unfaithful wife. See, Joseph was hurting, but he didn't let his anger determine his course of action. But Joseph was far from any sort of emotional peace. He was hurting tremendously inside. In verse 20, he says, "But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." This was a game changer for Joseph. As I mentioned, he'd already decided to send her away privately, secretly, a secret divorce that would reduce, you know, the shame associated with her pregnancy. But now, Joseph, and did you notice that had the angel said, referred to Joseph as the son of David? Okay, that's a messianic kind of a phrase there. He's talking about it. But now Joseph has clarity regarding Mary. She's not the cheating wife he thought her to be. She was still an innocent young girl that still seemingly devoted to Joseph as her husband-to-be. In an instant, peace was restored to Joseph. His anger, his shame, his sadness were replaced by the peace that only God can provide. Joseph's peace was hiding in his pain. So Joseph was blessed with a piece of peace. He changed his plans to send Mary away, and instead, he married her. Sure, he was probably ridiculed by the men and women of the village, but Joseph had a depth of peace that was beyond understanding. The sort of peace that the Apostle Paul writes in Philippians 4, chapter 7, and he says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus." Although we're in the season of Advent, where we think on the first coming of Jesus, we don't tend to think much on the narratives of a cheating fiancé, disharmony in the family, and death by stoning. Yet, sometimes those very things happen when families get together this time of the year, don't they? Well, maybe except for the stoning part, hopefully. So, instead, during Advent, we like to focus on other themes. And this week's theme is that of peace. Some of us here today are looking for peace. Peace from the hustle and bustle of preparing for the holidays. Peace from the loss of a loved one, or an illness, or a broken relationship. And some may be looking for peace in their lives with respect to what happens when we die. It's hard to have peace these days. We're all struggling. We all need a peace, you know, a slice of peace. And sometimes that peace comes in a hidden form. For Joseph, peace was hidden in Mary's womb. What Joseph thought was the end of his happily ever after was actually a slice of the peace that surpasses all understanding. Boy, did he get that wrong. He could have messed up. He could have missed out on the greatest gift of peace. If not for, peace sometimes hides in the pain. For me, after the doctor telling me of kidney stones, hardly good news in anybody's life, he had something to add. He said, "You have a mass in your right kidney. You should get that checked out." Whoa. For me, the plot thickened. I went to a kidney doctor and a urologist, and they discovered I had kidney cancer. Now, kidney cancer is asymptomatic. You don't know you have it because it doesn't cause any kind of pain or anything else. You don't know you have it until it has consumed the kidney and metastasizes to other parts of the body. Usually the first place it goes is to the lungs, and that's usually where it's first detected. If I had not had that kidney stone the Thursday before Labor Day weekend with that blood in my urine, I would never have known I had kidney cancer until it had gone to my lungs. What I thought was a painful inconvenience, a kidney stone, something that took away my peace, was something more. The doctors removed the kidney, and I'm once again healthy. Like Mary's hidden gem, that kidney stone alerted me in discovering there was something more underneath. And once removed, this kidney stone may have ultimately saved my life. Some of you may think that the diagnosis of kidney cancer and the loss of an organ doesn't qualify as having peace. But I'm telling you, the early diagnosis and treatment permitted me to forego something much worse. It likely saved me, like Joseph, my peace was hidden in the pain. I was blessed by what I thought was a ruined weekend. The Holy Spirit had other plans for me and was looking after me, just like he was looking after Mary and Joseph, to ensure that I could accomplish them. As we move into this busy season, remember that Jesus came to give us peace. The peace that surpasses all understanding. We are not immune to the effects of this world. Just because we're a Christian does not give us a pass. We need this peace also. And Jesus has given us this peace. So when we start feeling overwhelmed or pulled in different directions, we need to take a moment and get our piece of peace. Ask for peace during your daily prayer time. God's peace is there, but peace sometimes hides in pain. What appeared to be a painful situation provided Joseph with a piece of peace with his fiancée and the future of his soul. What I thought was a painful Thursday night provided me with a piece of peace in my health. If you're hurting, if you're in pain, remember God's peace may be hiding in that pain. Watch for it and be receptive to the Holy Spirit. Then we can all get our piece of peace this Advent season. Let us pray. Lord God, we honor and praise you. We rejoice in your blessings, but we sometimes struggle through life's challenges. Sometimes those challenges are painful. We pray you will give us a piece of peace that surpasses all understanding so we can march forward through those pains and glorify your name. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we pray.
Okay, are you living in peace today? If not, turn to the one who can fill your heart and soul with that wonderful feeling. And tune in again next time.